You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
And rolling. 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 Rolling.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
Is that a person?
That's a person. Patrick Beverley and Russell Westbrook. Old friends reunited once again.
They got to be happy that they're not having to be roommates, right? The way it used to be when back in the day in the NBA when they were roommates on the road.
You had to split the room. You had to say, this side of my room is my room, put the tape
two
down.
Two single beds.
It's funny because this goes one of two ways. Either someone's got to go, or they actually end up being like really good friends. Because that's a weird thing that happens a lot in the league where there's someone you don't like, and then you get traded to the team, and then you realize, oh, we're not so different, you and I.
So you think the opinion was formed without knowing each other?
Well, I mean, the opinion was formed because in the throes of competition, right, where Russell Westbrook was dribbling to the sideline, crossing half court, which is internationally known, they're going to call a timeout. Everyone just kind of...
They point. They point to the referee when they're crossing half court.
They lay back, and Patrick Beverley didn't stop. And so he kind of undercut him. Westbrook gets hurt, and I think he tears something in his knee, and it ends up being something that is a nagging injury for him for quite a while. And so that was the birth of, like, I don't like this guy because he kind of went outside rules of engagement. Patrick Beverley's response is, well, ref hasn't whistled, so I'm going to play through the whistle. Also, I guess, I can't remember whether it was earlier in the series or earlier in the season for him, someone had did the thing where they point and then they didn't call the timeout. They turned the corner and got to the basket. So Patrick Beverley's like, well, I can't.
Isn't that the quarterback when they think they're going to spike the ball, stop the clock, and then they fake the spike and throw a touchdown pass? Should you be upset at that?
One of my favorite plays ever got pulled back. It was, you remember this, Peyton Manning, when he was with the Colts? So they're in the formation, and he stands up, and he looks at the sideline, and says, what? I can't hear you. And while he's doing this, they hike it and, like, direct snap to the running back, and he runs it for a first down. And I can't remember why they pulled it back, but I was like, oh, that sucks, because that's such a beautiful play.
What, you mean it was like a holding penalty?
It was
or illegal procedure? They didn't do it because he touched his ears and tried to fool him?
No, it was something
just
else.
Just a penalty.
Yeah, it was a penalty.
They called it back. But that I'm talking about, that's sportsmanlike. That's not bad. When you try to get advantage over your opponent, the hidden ball trick, we practice the hidden ball trick in spring training, right? You want to have that in your quiver just in case that you know of a player who doesn't pay attention.
Right.
Mike Lowell pulled it off once for you.
He
guys,
did.
Right?
He did, successfully. It happens more often than you think. It's tried way more often than you see on TV.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, because I've been watching some baseball. I'm gambling again. And I've been longing for the days of the hidden ball trick.
Oh, it still goes on. It's just, you only see when it's successful.
Nice. How does it work?
Let's say the ball is thrown to first base. The first baseman pretends to throw it back to the pitcher, but doesn't. And then the guy takes a lead off first base and gets tagged. Or it happens the same on second base. When the ball comes to the cutoff man, you then throw it back to the infielder. And then still the outfielder has the ball. The second base runner goes off, and the outfielder sort of comes up and tags him out.
But is there a code? Bush League, if someone tried doing that in the playoffs, let's say an out was decided in the World Series game via the hidden ball trick, would that be considered Bush League?
Yeah, we've actually talked about that. No. So you're trying to get 27 outs no matter how, and in basketball, you're trying to score as many baskets as you can. In football, you're trying to score as many points. So I disagree completely with anyone being upset. If Russ Westbrook is pissed off, that's on him.
Well, he got hurt.
But that's on him. He got hurt, right? I mean, it happens. I mean, it wasn't a cheap shot by Pat Bev, was it? Did he go for his knees? Did he dive at his knees?
There's always a tinge of that with Pat Bev.
He's kind of a little bit of a loose cannon.
Is he a Draymond Green type of guy?
No. Draymond Green has a lot more like
polish
and also judiciousness in what he's doing. And Patrick Beverley is just
so you view him as out of control.
Yeah.
Where Draymond, what about Dennis Rodman? Was he out of control?
No. That was masterclass of someone
of
who was
in control.
Of in control. Agreed. And purposefully doing things to psychologically disrupt his opponent.
I agree. I mean, Tomlinson, the guy who whispered in his ear. Stevenson.
Lance Stevenson,
right?
Yeah.
I'm in for all that. So you're saying Beverly's different than that. So if that's true, I'm not sure he and Westbrook will become friends then.
Yeah. I mean, there's also a part where I don't think Beverly has the self-awareness to understand, okay, how can I repair this relationship now that, you know, now that we'll be teammates?
You think LeBron takes part of that? I do.
I mean, probably.
LeBron was aware of this trade is happening.
Oh, yeah.
Aware of the history with Westbrook.
Running everything by him.
I think one of the funny things was, what is it, 12 months ago, 18 months ago, THT was an untouchable. And now he gets traded for Patrick.
Nobody's untouchable.
No, but that was...
They were trying to inflate that trade chip. They don't have very many trade chips there.
They had an opportunity to get Kyle Lowry before Kyle Lowry came to Miami when he was in Toronto at the trade deadline. And Toronto's like, well, we want Talen Horton-Tucker. And the Lakers said, absolutely not. And then about a year and a half later, they trade him for a guy that...
It happens, right?
I mean, but
people
go from untouchable
to
available.
This is a decent move, no?
I think it's so marginal. And THT had a bad year. He had a bad year. But he had a really good year the year before that. He's so young that I would have just rather just said, well, maybe he'll bounce back this year rather than give up on him for a guy who's past his expiration date. And again, I feel like it lacks the self-awareness that you need in order to kind of escalate.
Desperate teams trade on the high, right? So I did that way too many times where we would trade a player at the exact wrong time, right? I should have said desperate teams trade on the low, meaning you're doing it at a time when you're not getting the value back that you should get for that player, but you're doing it because you're concerned that he won't rebound. And it's just a very bad plan.
We always talk about you can't fall in love with your own bullshit, right? You walk around, you can bullshit people on so-and-so, like, oh, THT, no, we would never trade him. Oh, he's too good. But you also have to understand he's not that good. You have to know him better than anyone else. He's not that good. If a deal like this comes around, this is why you get young players and develop them. It always boggles my mind, like when there's... Okay, Bradley Beal was a guy that was talked about to be on the move. And I think it was here. We're talking about, would you throw Tyler Hero into a Bradley Beal deal? And I said, no, I would never. And I'm like, if Tyler Hero ever became as good as Bradley Beal, you would be head over heels. So why not go get the real Bradley Beal? Why are you hoping he might turn out that way?
Isn't it just the cost control, cheaper salary elements of it? Like, if you have him at $10 million as opposed to him at $40
million. You're
assuming
the money's even when you're saying what you're saying.
I'm assuming that a fan should not care what Mickey Arison spends on the team. A fan should care of the best possible product on the field.
Fans realize
but shouldn't
now.
A fan care about how they allocate their salary cap dollars? Because what you aren't spending on Bradley Beal, you could be spending on another really good player that helps your team if the value between Hero and Beal is roughly
correct.
The same.
Yeah. Tyler Hero plus $30 million has to be better than Beal.
But let's not get something confused. I'm not saying that Bradley Beal and Tyler Hero are even. I'm saying that Bradley Beal is miles better than Tyler Hero. Your hope is that one day Tyler Hero, if everything breaks right, he might be almost as good as Bradley Beal. Or we can go get the real Bradley Beal right now.
We would keep a list, by the way.
But you can't get the real Bradley Beal right now because of the cap situation.
Well, no, that was talking about
I understand,
2 years ago
but
when we were talking
But we were talking about with a team that had just won the Eastern Conference.
Right.
And you're already projecting a then-rookie Tyler Hero. You understand where his contract is. You understand where what your books look like.
Right.
You don't really have the money to add a Bradley Beal without giving up Tyler Hero and a substantial damn near max player on top of that. It's really like, bam.
I think what he was more talking about, which is interesting, is people who we had two sets of books,
mm-hmm.
and I don't mean financial books, and I don't mean medical records.
Clear that up.
I'm saying that we would have lists of players who we would promote to national writers, and to the people who make the list of prospects and rank the farm systems. And we'd have a list where we're going out and saying, we're going to pump up these 20 guys because they're not our guys.
Right.
They're in our system. Yeah. We don't really love them, but we want to trade them. And we want other teams and other owners to look and say, oh my God, they think Tyler Hero is going to be Bradley Beal.
Right.
Well, that's what kind of felt like what was going on with THT a little bit. Like they really inflated that.
I think they believed.
You think so?
They believed.
I mean, the media over there bought it hook, line, and sinker. They were really touting him.
They believed because he was 18 when he got drafted. He was really young, which is a rarity in the NBA because the rule is you have to be 19 in the calendar year of your draft to be eligible. So he's got like a December birthday. So as an 18-year-old, it was like, this guy, he's not even old enough to drink, and he's already making an impact and on a championship team. So the idea was, whoa, they did it again. They found a guy in the second round who was kind of undervalued, and now he's gone up, and we've got an opportunity to see some real growth. And my thing was like, he's a good player. He's not good enough to say, no, don't give me a guy like Kyle Lowry who can legitimately make a difference. There's an argument that if they had traded for Kyle Lowry, they wouldn't have made the Westbrook trade, 6 months later or 3 months later.
The Westbrook trade was just because LeBron wanted him as a playmate. Carmelo Anthony?
I wanted to bring up that aspect of this with this trade as well, because the Lakers, is this the last young player that they've cashed in now? They don't have, other than if you consider Anthony Davis a young player, this is basically the last one that they've cashed in. This is the residual effect of having LeBron James on your team. He doesn't want to go through the up and downs of having Talen Horton-Tucker, having an up and down for good first year, bad second season. Maybe he can rebound and get better in year three with a new coach. But like LeBron eventually saps your team of all young players and draft pick assets, and then at the end you have to rebuild. It's why
the vampire.
It's why whenever he talks about like the Heat's develop, oh look at all these guys that are develop for the Heat. That could never happen if LeBron was on your team.
Is he the only player in the NBA who has that power in your mind? Because I got a few others in mind.
What power are we talking?
He's got power over personnel decisions.
I think all big time franchise players have influence.
There's how many franchise players are there? There's 32 franchises. There are not 32 franchise players. There's no one on the Knicks.
Yeah, 30 franchises.
Oh, there's only 30.
30 in the NBA.
I mean, did you know that Lonnie Walker is a Laker?
Oh, I do, because they spent their entire taxpayer mid-level exception on him, and I went through the list. He is far and away the worst value on that deal. Like, if you read the list of players that were signed using that exception.
But he's also 23. It's usually reserved for a veteran player, like a proven commodity. So
right.
They're trying to... They're trying to kind of get some young players that are projects that had this high ceiling, which is why you see Stanley Johnson, Lonnie Walker, Nunn on that roster.
Here's the problem. If they're right, next year he'll be gone. They won't be able to afford to keep him because they'll only have his non-bird rights.
But that's how they have to operate now, right?
The way they should operate is actually do what Miami does, what Toronto does, what San Antonio does. You know, find these guys in the G League, develop them, give them deals that are, team-friendly deals, 3 years.
Is Duncan Robinson a team-friendly deal?
Not anymore, but he was when they found him.
So when you look at it, so as an executive, we look at it all the time. We look at it every year.
Right.
So if there's any year that it's not, it makes it not worthwhile.
This is my thing about Duncan Robinson. I've said that Miami is the organization where they pick up pebbles and like, this is a diamond. And they do this all the time. So if you do this all the time, why would you ever pay market price? Why would you go to Zales and pay market price for a diamond? You're finding them everywhere. And the list is 20, 30, or 25 years long, basically since Pat Riley's been here. I go back to guys like Vashawn Leonard and Ike Austin. They found guys that nobody wanted. They polished them up. They made them into rotation guys. And you keep doing this over and over again.
But then why give them long-term deals?
Why pay them? You fell in love with your own bullshit. You believe
they've done that. I mean,
and all that.
We all love Riley, but he's made plenty of mistakes. No one talks about him in this place, but he's made plenty of bad signs.
Hassan Whiteside.
That's a major
mistake.
Deion
Waiters. James Johnson. You could put Duncan Robinson on that list.
You have to.
And the irony is, again, while they did this with Duncan Robinson, what happened? They found Max Strus. They polished him up. And he beat Duncan Robinson for the
same
role.
So here's the mentality. And I hate to keep talking about baseball because I don't know if you like it, but we had a closer, changed closers every year and had huge success. And then finally the owner said, we're not going to be able to do it again. So sign a free agent closer. That's how we signed Heath Bell.
Wait,
we had a different closer every year.
Why was ownership against?
Because the thought was, his thought was, we've found pebbles, so many diamonds in the mm-hmm. pebbles. The odds are it can't happen again.
Oh, so he's like, you guys are on an unbelievable hot streak. It's that too can't much. Continue.
Like, so I'm thinking Pat Riley could look at it and say, my God, we found so many. Like, can I
David,
keep doing
Reniel
this?
Pinto was not a diamond. Hate to break it to you.
He was not a closer either.
I'm just trying to think who you're thinking of. Who were the closer year by year closers before Heath Bell?
Go look at Joe Borowski, Armando Benitez, Leo Nunez.
Ooh, Leo was good.
Juan Carlos Oviedo.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go back in the Marlins time and look at, we had different closers that, all the time.
Well, 100% give you credit for that. I think you did better than any organization in baseball, which is find closers.
I just wanted to say Reniel Pinto.
Why?
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for Game 1. I live it because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed. Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Mustard mixes with mayonnaise better than ketchup does.
What?
Yes.
No.
What you've just said is appalling. What you've just said is an offense to anyone who's ever eaten.
Stugatz.
Ketchup. Oh, my God. Don't like it on anything, but...
What?
Ketchup? Yeah.
You're un-American!
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Do you remember how he got Reniel Pinto?
I do not. I remember he had a big ass, though.
Okay, but we got him along with Ricky Nolasco and a guy named Sergio Mitre, who is currently in prison.
What? Sergio Mitre is in prison?
Yeah, he's done.
What?
Yeah.
He wasn't a bad player for you guys at all.
No, people still walk around with Mitre shirts, and I actually tweeted, please do not wear your Mitre shirts anymore.
What did he do?
He killed somebody? He's done. I believe he killed the daughter of his girlfriend.
2020 what? Murder. On July 13, 2020, Mitre was arrested in Saltillo for possession of marijuana, charged with femicide and aggravated statutory rape over the death and possible sexual assault of his girlfriend's daughter.
I got it right.
Oh, my God.
That's Sergio Mitre.
Sentenced
so
to
I told 50 people.
Years in prison.
Well, that's his life. I mean, generally, that's his life. I said, please take your free Mitre shirts off that people still wear. I ask people not to wear them anymore.
22-month-old daughter, by the way. Jesus.
Yes. I mean, when that news came out, I spoke to Mike Hill and Larry Beinfest about it, and we were less than happy to be associated with that. So anyway.
Nothing personal. What's new this week?
That was the Juan Pierre trade, Chris. was Nolasco and Mitre and Pinto, which is a great trade.
I used to run base like Juan Pierre. Now I run base high.
I'm looking at Mike Ryan right now, whose jaw is on the floor.
Oh, this is a wild story.
The story's bonkers.
So you'll never wear the free shirt again, right?
I never wore it to begin with. It was just one of those funny players that I would name and be like, oh, yeah, he was a spot starter. He was all right.
Not a spot starter.
No, he was like a rotation.
Firmly in the rotation and producing.
Yeah, you guys didn't expect that of him.
No. David's so right about that shirt, though, popping up. I've randomly seen people. I'm like, why do they have a surgery? It was a giveaway.
Thing ever. Like,
it has to be a giveaway.
No, it was a giveaway. And people just keep it. I see them like down by Biscayne, like underneath the overpass. People walking around in the Mitre shirts. Hey, at least it's good for something. But yes, he is in prison and will be for a very long time. So anyway, getting back to franchise players.
Yes.
The Knicks do not have a franchise player. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So how many? Do the Heat? Don't say Butler's a franchise player. I have Luka as a franchise player.
Yes.
But I don't think he gets involved in personnel moves, do you?
Not yet. I don't think he's...
I agree, too young. So we're talking about LeBron. Is Durant a franchise player?
He is, but I think, you know...
Given everything?
You have to want to be with the franchise. Like, that's one caveat. Yeah, like, they're not going to listen to you.
So now we're still at James.
Right.
Hold on, let's keep going. What about Nikolai Jokic with the Nuggets?
Nikola Jokic,
franchise
I would say,
player?
Like Luka, might be a little young on the input, but definitely caliber.
Franchise player, but no input. So we're still LeBron. I'm totally with you.
Curry?
Steph Curry.
For sure.
Does he have input?
Yes.
Okay, so now we're at two.
Giannis.
You think the Bucks give Giannis input on players?
The Giannis Antetokounmpo, I rest my case. His brother's on the team. Well, his brother is not an NBA player.
No, but we would do that. Vladimir Guerrero's brother had an MLB career because we were trying not to upset Vladimir's brother. So I don't view that as having say over personnel. Say over personnel is the he wanted to sign and trade with the Hawks guy who ended up Bogdanovich.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That he wanted
that was his guy.
Or he wanted to extend Connaughton.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Bogdanovich was his guy, so he definitely was put in the word there. Giannis has it. Giannis for sure.
So now we're at three only. Three out of 30. There aren't many.
Is it Devin Booker?
No way.
Devin Booker has it.
You think Devin Booker?
Devin Booker.
He's young though too, isn't he?
Yeah, but he plays
more than Chris Paul?
He plays for an owner who is eager to please someone who appears to be cool. And so that Devin Booker has that power.
I wouldn't want input with Sarver. Like, is that guilt by association?
So we used to, you know, in our war room, we'd have our board for, let's say, the draft and stuff. And we'd write down the names in no particular order by position. And then at the end of the day, it was my job to make random markings. Circle, two stars, three stars, underline, asterisk, you know, L, R, all these different markings. And I remember someone asked me why I do that. And I said, because Robert walks in and he looks at the board, and next thing we know, we're hearing our draft board on the radio because he tells the local radio guy, John Gambadoro. And so we had to, like, throw the scent off. So he would look at it and not know. Like, the names were alphabetical order, so can't say, oh, they like, you know, Aaron Anderson the best, right? And then he could not tell what the markings meant, so...
I love that people like you in sports, and my guys did this the same. They treated the draft board like it was the nuclear codes. Well, not like Trump treats the nuclear codes, but like many people treat nuclear codes is how people treat draft boards. Like, we weren't allowed. Our baseball people would go crazy. We wanted to film it and put stuff on the Jumbotron, and they're not. We can't let anyone know who's number 20 on our draft board. Like, who cares? Is it that big a competitive advantage if the Lakers knew that you had an eye on blank player at the number in your second round pick?
I mean, somebody doesn't play fantasy football. If I have a couple guys start, no one's looking at my prep sheet. If I catch you looking at my prep sheet, we're throwing hands.
Exactly. You do in-person drafts?
Get the hell out of here.
A couple.
Nerd.
With Paul Rudd?
Yeah. Hideki Matsui. Yeah. It's a great scene.
Exactly.
Seth Rogen, like, trailing his wife, like trying to help him. It's such a great scene.
He's about to get caught, right, having an affair, and the guy, like, man code.
He's like, hey. Whatever his name was.
She's never heard of the movie. Is that why you're making that face?
What movie?
Oh, forget it.
This is 40, right?
Yeah.
No.
I've never seen it. I've heard of it.
Oh, it's a great movie. You'll turn to it
when you turn 40. Yeah.
Yeah, 15 years from now.
this week on Basketball Illuminati, we have the author.
Good transition. Sean. I think that's from Knocked Up, by the way.
It's promo time.
Is that from Knocked Up?
No, it's not from Knocked Up.
It's not Knocked Up.
This is 40 because the whole premise
this is 40.
Like, not in Knocked Up, it's the whole thing where they went to dinner and he says, wait, you tell me if Doc Brown shows up in the DeLorean right now, says, I'll
you
take
you go back in time.
And she doesn't get any of the reference.
I want to gun it to 88.
Is that your Rogan?
It was like my Rogan doing Doc Brown.
Right. You don't get high. You mean in the morning?
That's movie expertise you can only find on Nothing Personal, hosted by David Samson, wherever you get your podcast.
Amin, how much dick do you have in you?
Hey,
because we were saying, we were talking about Pat Beverly earlier, and we were saying how he's got a little dick in him, but that's, you want a little dick in you.
Phrasing.
What?
Yeah, as your attorney, I would suggest you not answer that question. We should ask for a rephrase.
Why is that everyone's moving away now? We all agreed back here that Witty said 10 minutes ago, I wish I had a little more dick in me. Because it in business, in the professional world,
walk
it
outside
helps,
the Clevelander.
It helps to, you know, you got to stick up for yourself. You got to be a dick sometimes.
Stick up for yourself or stick up in yourself.
Kudos to you. Terrific. You somehow found a worse transition than the Sergio Mitre murder.
Yeah. Good job. Good job, Chris. Yeah.
I'm still wondering how much dick Amin has in him. Because do you stand up for yourself and stuff in business and
negotiations?
Woody, you wish you had more
I'm
dick
not
in
allowing you?
You
to answer that.
Someone help me out here.
No.
Nope.
Man, this was a great topic. Off air.
At the time.
This thing crushed off air.
Basketball Illuminati. Sean Patrick Griffin. He's the author of the book, Gaming the Game, where he is the definitive breakdown of what happened in the Tim Donaghy scandal. He is a professor at the Citadel and also a former Philadelphia cop. He wrote the best, the definitive piece of research on what happened in the Tim Donaghy scandal. We're promoting it. We had a great interview with him this week on Basketball Illuminati. And the reason why we're promoting it hardest is next week, the Netflix Untold episode is going to be about the scandal. And I'm here to tell you it's going to be not good. It's not going to be as objective or as detailed as what Sean Patrick Griffin did in his book or the conversation that we had with him on the podcast. So
should we watch The Untold before we listen to your show or do your show first and then watch The Untold?
Listen to the show first and then watch The Untold and point out to your friends, that's wrong. That's misleading, all those things. Because Tim Donaghy displays the behavior of a pathological liar. So, and the Netflix kind of docuseries Untold, their big thing is that they get the people to sit in the chair, right? They got Manti Te'o to sit in the chair and Naya
Tuiasosopo.
Naya Tuiasosopo, right? They get the people to sit in the chair. That doesn't necessarily mean they vet the things that are said or push back or whatever. It's just kind of like, well, you know, they talk. And so Tim Donaghy loves to talk. He does the rounds a lot. He says a lot of things, and many of them have been objectively proven to be false. So,
like Shaq.
like Shaq. That was a callback to yesterday.
The Manti Untold story, I mean, I think this might kind of fall in the same pattern where like it did a good job doing a kind of an overview of it and setting the record straight, but they also left out a lot of the details that I think were important that made certain people look better or worse.
Yes.
And I get, you know, I am the first to complain when a documentary series has too many episodes and is very bloated. I think most are. This one, I would say, maybe could have used like an extra 20 or 30 minutes.
What was the number one thing left out? I mean, you're talking about your experience given your connection to it.
Well, mostly my experience like living through that. I think they left out some criticism for Deadspin because Deadspin's initial story had a line in it that, or a paragraph, I guess, that implicated Manti as knowing about the catfisher and like being part of it to...
I thought that was the case.
No.
No, it's because Deadspin in part framed the narrative.
So I watched, I had not heard of that story, and I watched the documentary.
Wait, you hadn't heard it when it happened?
No, I was so knee deep in baseball that
really?
It just, it
man, that,
it
that
escaped
took
me.
Over. All right, but that's surprising, but I guess so
it was
pretty
like, it was
singular.
Like early social
I'm not
media
the only
era,
one, by the way.
I guess. I mean, it was well, all no, over ESPN.
It was, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, it was
yeah,
daytime TV, but he was just singularly focused on baseball. It's
I mean, I was doing my job, right? There's many people who have non-sports jobs who didn't know about it who are watching this documentary.
I mean, that's true. I didn't know Lonnie Walker was a Laker.
I've also seen, I saw a young person tweet something about like, holy shit, this Manti story was crazy. And then she replied to it and was like, all these people keep tweeting at me saying they lived through it. Like, sorry, you're old, Pops. It was really funny. Because there are like a lot of young people that are seeing it that were probably too young in 2012 to remember it, that grew up with the internet. Yeah. And probably are like, they grew up knowing what catfishing was before they knew anything else.
Right.
And so it's like funny to harken back to an age where no one knew what catfishing was.
So I thought the biggest issue with the documentary, having seen it, is that people thought and spread the word that he was gay.
Well, that I think that's
and
what
I thought
they,
that's what
but
hurt
that's what
him
they
the most.
Focused on, I mean, they focused on that a lot, which I think is accurate because.
Did that happen
that
when
did
you were
happen.
Living through it?
That did
so
happen.
That's
yeah,
real.
Katie Couric. Yeah. Asked him on
straight up
on morning talk show if he was gay, and the NFL hadn't had an out gay player yet, and the NFL still like isn't the most open league, and so that was a huge part of his story because everyone NFL teams, if you want to give them the most generous interpretation, they don't want anything that's a distraction, right?
So generous, it's almost not
but
accurate.
It's exactly the gay thing was a huge talking point at the
and
time.
So your point is that both that he's not gay and he did not know about it and he was accused of both.
No, I'm saying that the Deadspin article, well, yes, like he didn't intentionally mislead people for his own benefit, and the Deadspin article, when it first came out and broke the story, it implied that he did. They published a right. quote from an anonymous source that said they were 80% sure he was.
You don't think it's possible? I mean, I talked about this on Nothing Personal. I'm curious about this. I talked to myself, so I'm happy to have this group. Can you have a girlfriend for 2 years who you've never seen?
Yes.
Explain to me how that. I'm just,
I have best friends that I've met on the internet. That
we're not
I've
talking
never
about
met.
Friends. We're talking about like amorous.
Yeah,
well,
I think yeah.
amorous.
Well, now it's harder.
Hold on, you have a best friend
like
you've
Manti.
Never seen. You just use the word best friend.
I've met them since, but I've had very close friends that I've met through work that I never met in person that became like really I can close
you
with.
Tell them like personal things about yourself without knowing if it's a man or a woman.
No, I know who they are. Like they're vetted as a person. They're not someone I'm meeting on a random chat room. But like yeah, that's normal. You're
okay.
looking at me like
I am
crazy.
Looking at you. No,
you guys don't have people that you've met on Twitter or Instagram that maybe like people that are
yeah.
fans of the show that you have like a friendly relationship
yeah,
with.
Yeah, and no, there are also certain times that I'm like, this feels like a fake person. This is like a catfish.
But you're not
situation.
Dating them.
No,
yeah,
no.
Like
well,
the
I think
amorous part of
it's thing. Easy for us to look back in 2022 and say, how could you fall for it when part of our experience, like sirens are going off because of examples like Manti Te'o. Was he gullible? Through it, absolutely. Like FaceTime is a lot more normal and routine now than it was back then. What? Even though he attempted to FaceTime and never got there, I think part of it was Manti Te'o fell for this trap. Was a pretty gullible guy, but I also think that we're armchair quarterbacking it a little bit as well because 2009.
Well, would you go out with someone who you haven't met?
Different.
Would you go out with someone in
I
theory?
Personally. Wouldn't and haven't, but I don't think it's that weird.
Oh, I didn't even mean a date. I'm sorry. I meant like with a girlfriend or with a guy friend, whatever you
like. Like go hang out with someone
yes.
in person that I haven't met?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you would schedule like, hey, let's meet for drinks.
Yeah,
but I think there's a difference because
a real,
like she's talking like, about, for instance, if like Spencer Hall, right? We all know
yeah.
Spencer Hall.
Well, I used to work with him, but yeah.
Okay, okay,
like,
that's a bad example.
Someone that I've never
Michelle
met
Michelle Beadle.
Person.
You've never sure. met Michelle Beadle in yes. person, right? But you know who Michelle Beadle is.
You've seen Michelle Beadle on TV, haven't you?
Well, you're asking two different questions. Right. Now you're asking if I go out with someone that I've never seen.
Yes, that's the only question I'm asking.
But that's not
okay,
that's
so
not
then,
the state of communication 10 years ago.
Oh, I thought that the player, Manti, had a girlfriend that he had never
yes.
yeah, he did.
Seen.
Well,
he did.
She was sending photos
pictures,
of herself,
yeah.
but they weren't.
But he had never proven,
her.
And yeah. he's put a sign up.
Well, he
right.
spoke to her.
But he's also not like an investigator,
so,
and he's
so,
not questioning
so
if she's
Jess,
real or not. That's the naivety part.
So,
that
right, she had a
to.
Very convincing voice. He spoke to her on the phone several times. He also spoke to people in her family, people that would presumably be confirming that this person is indeed
well,
real.
I think the big thing was he talked to some of his people because...
Yeah, his because, cousin claimed that
yeah,
he knew
right,
her.
Right.
Yeah,
but
I
never
Kakua,
FaceTimed
he said, well,
to
he
have
says,
no, but
voice
he was
with
vetting.
The face.
He's like, hey, I'm talking to this girl. Do you know her? And they would just be like, yeah, oh, I know her. And there wouldn't
Maybe
be
I'm just
questions.
Overly cautious. I just, mean,
if
like,
you watch if you watch a documentary, you could piece together. Granted, it is framed. The narrative is framed in two parts. Manti, and they also have access to Deadspin because they can't tell the story without invoking Deadspin and having access to these people. But I also think, to Amin's point, they got them in the chair. Yeah. And they didn't really hold them to high standards either. And they let them frame a narrative that wasn't exactly true at the time, be it how they framed it, be it like how cocky they were about breaking a story that they got tipped on. Like, oh, we wanted to go at it at ESPN and prove that they were wrong. Shut up, man. You guys fell for it, too. You just got a tip.
I just think that, like, internet relationships with people you haven't met, like, it's not that weird to me and my generation. Like, I'm on Discord channels with people that I talk to every single day. I have
audio
no
or video.
Idea what they look like.
Audio
this
or
is all text.
Text.
Like, okay. I'm in a Discord group with people who are fans of Notre Dame football, and I've met one of them in real life. And they've met a couple of them. But I don't know know everyone in it. And we talk, I don't tell them about like my personal life, but I'll share details about things. And that's like, I don't think you would call that a best friend, right? No.
Right.
But I do have friends that I'm close with that are people that I hadn't met in real life until I'd known them for a few years and talked to them via text or tweet or whatever.
And no FaceTime.
No. But like,
would you be upset if you thought it was a girl and it was a guy?
Well, I don't know. How to answer that.
I feel like we're getting bogged down.
No, it's just I find the whole thing very, I find it troubling, and I speak to my kids about it, to tell you the truth. Like, how do we protect people from getting this, from getting
it? What he's asking is if someone who is communicating with you and you feel like, okay, we have an understanding, and then it comes out, much like in the rehearsal, that a part of their story is fraudulent. For instance, you thought this guy's name is Derek, and you know he's
a Notre Dame alum,
and it's
Joanne who went to Wisconsin.
Yeah, I would be like, wow, what the?
But everything else is true, right? All the.
But like, I'm not dating them, so it wouldn't be deeper than that,
right?
But like, I don't even if you are dating them or whatever you want to call it, like I don't think it's that weird.
Huh.
Like I think it's become more and more normal, and now obviously FaceTime is more common and Zoom. Like we have better tools for it, whereas like 10 years ago maybe it was like a little bit more weird to FaceTime someone. I don't really know. I don't remember.
It's also college. Having a long distance girlfriend or boyfriend isn't that odd. Having one that you've never actually met before is, but it's also like not impossible.
Do you remember mail order brides?
Yeah,
remember that? Do people
that
even know what that is?
That still is a thing.
Well, you know that.
That still is a thing.
So you have to get what you order, right? Like,
you know that
you can't send it back. No,
we actually have someone in this studio that has experience as a catfisher.
Yeah, I've done this before in high school. I've told this story. It's an old story. I had a girlfriend, and I was just like, I just want to make sure. I was a little unsure if she would be faithful, so I created a Facebook account.
And
look, I was young and stupid. I wouldn't do it now. Dad's looking at me like,
what happened?
I
had a winner.
Her?
I found his name was Jack Ritter. I created an email.
Jack Ritter.
Jack Tripper.
And at the time, I think I was watching 8 Simple Rules. Like, isn't that Jack Ritter?
John
like,
Ritter, yeah.
John Ritter.
Yeah.
And I like got some like just like a Googled like good looking teen. And it was just like some blonde kid. And like it was my profile picture. And then I like friend requested her. She did accept the friend request. But,
which is a strike against.
But there was like, but then I engaged.
I googled good looking.
But then when I engaged, like DMs and stuff, she was very she pushed him off. I was like,
did you come clean and tell her what you had done?
Say no.
I don't remember.
No, you didn't.
No, if you can't remember, you didn't.
You did not.
I think she eventually did.
I think I did eventually tell her.
Did you do that with your wife? When you started dating your wife.
It was a girl I was dating, and then I was like friends with. I'm still friends with her brother, so like I still know her. So it's like I think years and years later, I did admit it.
What about with your wife when you started dating?
It's the only time I ever did it. I've never catfished anyone else, and
never
I don't feel in hindsight.
Your wife.
In hindsight, I don't feel great about it.
How is the Jack Ritter account doing nowadays?
I don't know.
Still very active.
I think he voted for Trump.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.